Good afternoon, my name is Claudio Rivera. I am the director of the bachelor programs at Rio Business School. And today we have a new episode of the Bottom Line Studio. And with us, we have one of our alumnos, Ania Paula Esragaile. Welcome, Ania.
Hi.
Hello, nice to see you again here. I will briefly introduce Ania and just for everyone that is watching now, if you are watching live, so you will have the possibility also to make questions that I will receive in my WhatsApp, in my telephone. So you feel free to make questions or make comments. So today the topic is going to be about employer branding, but also we are going to talk about Ania as well, right? And how Ania has finished the bachelor program just 6 years ago. And during this 6 years has been doing a lot. So we would like to hear a lot about your story as well. So a brief introduction. Ania is the project director and business partner at ERDA Learning and Development. It's a very well-known company in the country in the area of employer branding and consulting and as well as learning and development. Now is a new area that you are exploring. For almost 6 years, Ania has been working in a strategic HR and communication consulting projects with ERDA and has helped Latvian large companies actually to develop their employer branding and recruitment strategies. However, in the recent years, the focus of Ania has been more on projects connected with internal culture, like building company purpose, vision, mission, values, and goals, and helping to transform and change the existing culture for a better employee experience. So that's fantastic that in such a short time after graduation, you are involved on strategic issues in large companies. But before we start, so we ask one of your friends to tell us something about Ania. And this is a tradition we have in the Bottom Line Studio. If you want, you can guess after who wrote this. So about Ania, quality, high ethical standards, passion for what she believes in could be the first characteristics I could imagine when thinking about Ania. It is important for Ania to have a purpose in any activity she decides to engage in, both professionally and also personally aspects of life. And mission impossible usually becomes possible due to her ability to plan and oversee things at the same time. I personally love being around Ania. She's never afraid to pick up even uncomfortable discussion, I hope today also, and create clarity for the team around her. Wishing her a great dialogue today and great learnings for all the listeners. Do you want to guess who is?
I don't know. My first guess would be Paula, because I think you're the one who could speak to her about this, but I'm not sure.
Well, I didn't ask Paula, but I could have asked. You mean Paula Elkston, yeah. Probably. No, it's Parslas Vasco.
Oh, wow.
That is your boss, right?
Yeah.
So he's the ERDA CEO and business partner. Okay. Good. How did you come up to work on employer branding? I mean, that's usually I have the idea that that's come later in life. Once you have experience in the job market, so then you try to fix what was wrong. But I understand you came up very early, just after graduation.
Yeah, I think this fixing things has been one of my my thing from the very beginning, I think, also throughout school, university, and so on and so forth. And I remember that with employer branding, I got to know about it a little bit, came across in one of the HR courses here in RBS. I remember that Anita Gaila was telling about it, and I was thinking, okay, this is something interesting. This is a new angle on how to look at things, because I, in my study years, I liked, of course, as most of the people, I think, I liked marketing. But I also really loved HR, organizational behavior, and all of these things. And And I think this was something that where all of these things came together.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, but of course, when I started to work at Arda, I also thought, okay, how can I be a consultant with almost non-experience in corporations and so on? But I thought, okay, why not? Maybe this is the mission impossible.
So you said that employer branding is a little bit like it put all together, what is connected with people management and people is the all the issues about motivation and leadership. So what could you define it? So the why is so important for you and for a business, employer branding?
I think previously, like 10, 20 years ago, everybody talked about marketing, so mm-hmm. the product branding itself, and so then after a while, so like 10 years ago, and in Latvia, I would say more like 5, 6, 7 years ago, they started to talk about this employer brand, because it's something like you cannot put the product out there if you don't have people. To really manufacture it, to market it, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So you don't have a team mm-hmm. there. And yeah, I think that's why it is a really important topic. And nowadays, at least in the last years, the focus has been huge on it. And yes, because of the all of the pandemics and all of other crises that are happening, because it really shapes and shapes the whole workplace for people.
Yeah, because traditionally, right, potential employees has to brand themselves. They need to sell themselves to the companies. So the employer branding is like the other way around, right? So it's like the company is trying to sell itself to employees, but makes sense for if you think, okay, on very specific talents you are looking for, but if you need to do it in a massive way, it's because you need to reach a lot of people with your branding, right? So it's like changing the roles in a way.
Yes, I remember when I was still studying, I thought a lot about CVs, and I thought that this is something I hope that will not be in the job market in a few years, because I thought that it should be a little bit the way around, that the job ad is the one that is trying to sell you something, mm-hmm. and that it tries to sell the purpose of the company, what you will do, what kind of skills we need, mm-hmm. and so on and so mm-hmm. forth. So yes, it is the way around. And if 10 years ago companies thought that everybody wants to come to them and they can tell them whatever, right, just giving them the salary and maybe some benefits, some perks, then now it is the way around, because everybody gives a lot of things and people are really picky now, I think, in the job market. It's not like with products, that one day I buy Coca-Cola, the other day I buy Pepsi, and that's all. Mm-hmm. the work you do, it is maybe not for life anymore, mm-hmm. the one specific job you do, but it is at least for 1, 2, 3, maybe 5, 10 years for mm-hmm. you. So mm-hmm. you should be a little bit cautious, I guess, for what you choose. But I think people have gone really picky on this.
And so when you look at different employer brandings or leaders that are with their own branding in a way, do you have any sort of role model, anyone that you say, okay, this is how things should be done in terms of leadership branding or employer branding in a way?
Every time when I see one, I think, oh yes, this is the one, and then they do something a little bit unexpected. For example, now we see a lot of these layoffs in tech industries and so on. And these are the times when you see the real face of it, because maybe, yeah, everybody thought that that the company is great, everybody wants to work for them, and so on and so forth, and then they see what they do in these crisis situations,
right.
And this is their real face, and yeah, it's in a lot of times it goes the way around, and yeah.
So today Amazon announced, this was today, I read it today at least, that they are going to lay off 3% of their employees, so 10,000 people. So of course, a couple of weeks ago, Twitter under Musk said that half of the payroll, and we also had Facebook, right?
Facebook, yes.
Yeah, Meta, with 11,000 yes. employees. So you say okay, they finally show the face when the crisis come. How much is? That was, you know, the title of today was the myth of the employer branding, because I usually have seen branding issues a little bit like the makeup, you know, when you need to you need to put a little bit of the makeup to cover what's yeah. not so nice, and of course that's good. I mean, it's good to look nice, right? So it's an important thing. So how much when companies in your work or in your experience, how much in what companies do as employee branding actually fits who they are, and how much there is really a real difference that sooner or later is going to come to light?
I think, yeah, it's there is a lot of difference, and if they don't start the work from within, if they want to just put the nice paper around candy that is not really tasty in the middle. You get what you put in there. So I don't know. I'm just thinking about.
But you say you need to start first from the inside. So you need to, when you need to build a brand, if I would be your client, as a corporate client, would you first talk to the marketing department and then try to see or how is the brand going to be positioned and which type of brand or who should be involved when you go building the employee branding?
I think there are a lot of parts that should be involved. Of course, mostly the responsibility lies in hands of HR. Mm-hmm. But we see that the projects that really go through are the ones where the board is also involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they think that this is not important, then mostly all of the projects fail.
Mm.
And because that's why I'm always thinking that HR or marketing in whoever hands the employer branding is, because sometimes it is in hands of marketing as well.
Mm-hmm.
You should always make friends with someone from the board.
Mm-hmm.
and understand what is the language they speak in.
Mm-hmm.
And how to brand this idea as well, that we should work on this topic as well.
What do you expect from the board? I mean, you expect from them, yeah, that they own the thing. Why is that so important? I mean, because they might not be the ones that are the most creative into the stuff, right? So and sometimes they are too busy in more strategic issues. So why do you think that they should be involved? Why do you want their involvement there?
Because this is a strategic thing.
Mm.
And those boards that say, okay, I have other topics that are strategic on my plate and this is not something strategic, then I think this answers the question, will this really go through or not? Will the employer brand be good at the end? I don't know. I think the workforce and what we do with that, and do we have it enough, and do we have the skills that we need, and so on. is a strategic thing, is a strategic decision, and that's why I think at least someone from the board should be there. It's not that they are the ones always doing all of the tactical things, of course. That's why you have HR or PR or marketing division. That's why you have the team leads and so on and so forth. But you need someone who is behind HRs or other people backs when the decision needs to be made. Yes.
So there are some people that think that visibility is good, it's always good, even when it's negative visibility. So you get the people to know that you are there, and I think there are some iconic figures in the current environment, in politics, in business. Probably let's not name anyone, just that people don't think we are taking position in anyone. But there are people that are really have more negative connotation in the public, regardless in which ideological in which aisle of the ideological debate you are. But they will resonate negative to a substantial amount of people, right? Do you think that a big part of branding is as well the visibility, regardless how positive or negative it is?
Yes and no. You need to be recognized, of course, within the job market. And if you are not recognized, so no one really knows about you, then it's hard for you to find employees and to find really the skills that you need, and especially when you need specific skills. But with the employer brand, it is a little bit different as with the product brand, because it's with the product brand, okay, or my personal brand. For example, I see that there are some shocking PR things that they do, and I think, okay, why not to buy the product? I will just test it out and see for myself. The job is not something you want to just test it out and then go forward. So you really want to believe in what they do. And if they, for example, change their face all the time, or they have only the negative side of themselves so shown outside, then I think it's a problem for the employer.
So you need to keep a visibility that is. You need to resonate, but it has to be a positive. As much as possible, a positive resonance, but don't to play, not overdo if there are negative connotations as well. So don't you, because when you look at some of the companies, they actually leverage themselves sometimes on negative icons as well. So they use negative icons sometimes to leverage themselves on some way. And they want to be exposed because it's a way to say I have power.
Yeah, yeah.
Visibility is power at the end of the day.
Yes, of course. No, the visibility. Yes, as I said, it is the first step so that you are recognized. But I think, and also what we see in the recent years, for example, everybody we're talking about this. Hustle culture and everything, and you know there are some maybe also negative personages in there, but now people are talking more about their mental health, that they can trust their leader and so on and so forth, and I think at this point it doesn't work anymore that you are playing this double face or whatever how we call it.
So your point is that there is a different level of expectations from the potential employees on the. I believe we are talking mainly when of white collars, right? So we are not talking about probably blue collars. So do you think that in blue collars also employer branding has a
yes and no. It is. It is always about your target audience.
Mm.
So, is it how we divide them, blue collars, white collars, or whatever,
Mm.
managers or employees? So, for each of them, there will be different aspects that they will want to see in the employer and what they really appreciate. For some of them, it's more about the salary. For some of them, it's more about the management. For some of them, it's that the job is meaningful for them. But I think at the end of the day, everybody wants to work at a good company. And of course, but each of us understands what the good company is for themselves differently.
Let me get a little bit on the meaningful, because that's something I hear a lot between
Yes.
our population, right? The Riga Business School population. I want to work in a place that is meaningful. Now, before we go to more sort of the broader topic of it, I start to see some companies. I mean, this has been an old tradition, but it continues that offer to pay if you are an employer, you bring someone to the company, and that person ends up staying in the company for a period of time. So they pay you a bonus
Yes.
for that.
Yes.
I'm not sure how really is, what's the impact on, I mean, what is the message I am sending in that case? Is that I have sort of mixed feelings on whether that is a positive message I am sending or not, because I am saying, what I am saying is, you know, so if you talk good about me, I'm gonna, if you bring someone,
Yeah.
so I'm gonna pay. I am simplifying quite a lot
Yeah.
because you also, I mean, this is someone that is gonna stay in the business for at least some time, but I'm not sure really that contributes to the employee branding. So I'm not convinced yet.
Yeah.
So.
This is mostly companies call it this referral program.
Right,
So
right.
you get a person from
Right.
your friends or
Right.
acquaintances.
Right.
I think. I like these things, but when it's not all around the money, because you can do it just from yourself, so that the motivation comes from within. And what I think is that people will never, at least mostly, will never refer a company if they don't believe in it, that if they don't like it. So they will talk good if they think that it's good. So it has a positive impact on the employer brand as such. And but what I see, at least in Latvia, mostly people are a bit scared of inviting their friends or even family to the company because mostly they are afraid that the person will not like the company at the end, maybe, and that, or maybe the way around, and that they will have a negative face within their team afterwards if the person doesn't really fit the company at the end of the day.
Okay, so meaning that provided you like your place, this money is more like incentivizing you to at least give it a thought. And don't be too lazy on this, and then think a little bit who around you can be. So I'm not sort of compensating for a sacrifice that you might do in terms of a friendship, but I'm really no.
No, people mostly don't want to do it. Like, because if they feel that that will be a sacrifice for them. But for the company itself, yes, for in terms of employer brand, it is good. In terms of the diversity that they get, there is a question because we mostly tend to invite people that are really similar to us.
Yes,
From
yes.
one point of view, that's a good thing. So, for example, I don't know, if I want that there are people from that are graduates from one university. I know to whom in the company ask to get their friends within. But if you want the diversity, it might not be the case because we know that mostly each of us has the bubble we live in that is not maybe that diverse. And
So here we are working in. Into this, it's good. This very good. This last comment. So if I start to promote that you bring people from your own circles, we are becoming more homogeneous. And in a way, you are inviting the business to come up into your own private life because it's now. So that the circles of your business, the circle of your life start to intersect between each other. And here I go to this meaningfulness, because as you know, teaching leadership for so many years, so one of the things is I try to help people to discover what is their purpose in life and whether the business they are in or the world they are in, so it really fits that. But I have never been really a strong advocate of requesting from the business to provide me with a meaning. So that the business is the one telling me, you know, what's the meaning for my work, but rather is that my meaning fits the meaning of the business. I feel that sometimes we overdo on that, so that we try that the business becomes a little bit like the replacement of other things that probably are missing in my life.
Yes, it's that is a thing. At least I see that for my generation, I could call, say it like that. And I see that, we have talked a lot about, at least with my course mates and so on and so forth, that that the meaning of job, that the purpose, what I do, and I have done it, and I'm doing it the same all the time as well, that I want that the job brings me some kind of purpose in life as well. And as you said, it sometimes is because I want to replace something that I don't have in other roles within my life. But I see that that the new generation start to really have these two lives that they have. As we talked with my colleagues a few days ago, I said, okay, I have my work Anya, and then I have my life Anya, or my hobbies Anya. Mm-hmm. And people start to separate these things, and they start to find purpose in something else. They start to talk about when I ask who you are, that you don't reply with your job, that you don't reply with your company name or your title,
right.
That you really start to think about yourself as a person, not as a part of a company. But I think this is something that has started in the last years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, COVID and everything, I think it
has. So people start to look a little bit their life besides the...
Yeah.
Good. Tell me a little bit, so the and in the prep-up conversation before leading to this podcast, so we... You told me about your experience looking for your first job after the university. And then you found ERDA, as I understand, and then you have been there since then. What did you experience in the job market that probably wasn't what you really expected? And that probably is connected with what you are trying to do right now from ERDA.
Yeah. This is an interesting part, at least for me. I remember when I graduated, then most of my course mates had already a job or 1 month and they got a job, and for me it was first month, second month, third month, and so on and so forth. And I thought that, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do, because I understood that I want to stay in Latvia. I don't want to look abroad, mm-hmm. at least at the moment. And that's also how I got to RBS. It's the same. I wanted to stay in Latvia, but get something a little bit from abroad here. And I understood that I have a lot of expectations from the employer, that there are a lot of things that I want to help with within the companies, but I understood that from one side, and this is the circle that all of the students and graduates go through, you don't have the experience enough to go into the positions that you would love to, but at the same time, with all of the background from the university and so on, when I went to some of the interviews, they said, you are coming to a junior position in, I don't know, in support or something like that. But you talk so much about leadership and everything, and you will hate this place in a week. And then I said to them, okay, but what should I do? I don't have the experience from one side, but I cannot come work to you, for you, because I will just get bored there. And yeah, that's why I was trying to look and look and look. Yes, for the job that, yeah, for me would fulfill the purpose. And that's how I found Arda, or Arda found me, I would say, like that.
So this level of expectation, I believe, for many of your generation, the current generation, they have, when they are looking for companies, do you think that companies have understood this? That the expectation from the young generation, especially those that have been highly educated. I remember in one meeting with senior leaders just recently, I mean recently 3 years ago, but still recently, and we were talking about a new program for young people, actually the Baltic IT leadership program that we have right now. And one of them said something, you know, if we invest on this type of program that creates such a level of graduates, then they come, they want to be our deputies tomorrow, and they will leave us in a year or two. And probably, you know, that's a little bit of the reality of the market, that is a little bit small, and that the companies are not that big. But still, I guess, there is a question of the employer that they can do some work to try to see how they can accommodate this talent, right? But do you think that employers have understood that we are in front of a completely different reality right now with the young generation that is coming out of universities?
Not really, I think. Yeah, because and it's not something in the future. It's already here. It's already for several years. And when I have talked with a lot of employers, and I have said that the cards are on the other side, not on your side, but on the employee side, they don't really believe in that. And yeah, because yeah, the expectations from potential employees are really high, and sometimes I think employers don't know what to do with the talent. Sometimes they have it already within the company, but maybe in the wrong part, in the wrong division, and or something like that. But and they understand, okay, I want to have this person, I want to have this talent, because the skills are good, or the personality. But I don't know where to put him or her, and that's how sometimes they lose those people, they lose those talents, because they don't know how to really engage them with the job that would be more appropriate that they do at the moment.
But how these people came to be together in the first place? I mean, if you have highly talented people that are not in the right place, sort of, or they don't feel they are in the right place, and you have the employer that doesn't know what to do in the structure where it is, right? So I guess the employer could have found someone else, and the employee could have found another place. Or it's just that probably in their minds, both are are lacking some reality check. And really, this person that thinks that he's very talented, probably it is, but it's not at that level, probably, that he thinks it is. And the employer probably needs to be a little bit more humble as well. But
but it's sometimes that it's just that's the place and time when they met. Maybe both of them understood that, yes, this is a good person and this is a good company. I should get there, but maybe after a time something will change. Mm. But mostly it doesn't really. And I like the idea of that we have two types of, we call it an engagement. So what do we like? So you have the company engagement, which is the what the company does, the values, I really get them and so on. And then is the job engagement. So that I really like the job that I do, the skills that I have are really put in place there. And sometimes you just get people who really loves the company, but not the job itself. Mm. And they think that they will maybe at some point rotate somewhere within the company, but sometimes it never happens. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So and the employer branding plays a role in more in the attraction, but in retention, does it play a role there as well in keeping the people on board afterwards?
Yes, of course. It's the two sides of the coin, and as I said with the candy. So, if you will promote something that doesn't exist there, people will find out it really quickly. And we know now that as we call it, this glass box that the companies are now so transparent from within. For example, a lot of years ago, nobody knew what is your salary and so on. Now, mostly we all know. I know what my course mates get and so on. And it's because a few years ago, no one wanted to talk about and didn't have also
especially
the
here. Yeah, yeah, it was like this, or Eastern Europe.
Right? Yeah, yeah, no one really talked about it. It was something that you didn't talk about. But now everybody talks about what is happening within the company. And in other countries, you have these glass doors and so on, yes. where you can read about it, and people are putting posts on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. If the company does something good, and especially if the company does something bad,
I here I come back to the negative visibility. So there is a research. Recently published by MIT, and it's called Culture 500. And what they have done, they took glass door and they took 1 million pieces of data, people with all the comments people have posted in Glassdoor about different companies, and you see, very interesting how. Companies like Tesla Apple or some of these sort of more attractive places for to work in. So they are really struggling on some of those values we think our generation or your generation is more attracted to, like integrity or cooperation, right? But still I think they have a number of applications per place, they should be on the top, right? And I think you go to one of those companies, you go into an extremely competitive environment where it's all about getting getting your place, being a spot, could the sometimes allowing a little bit of the negative visibility, negative in the sense that you are showing what also what some part of the people don't like to see. Could it be a very good instrument? Because then you are segmenting the people you want, right? So I don't want everyone to come here. I want these specific people to come here. And then through my branding, I'm showing that.
Yeah, no, I think this is totally true, because you need to tell the truth. Like, it's you cannot you can sometimes polish it a little bit with something with the words you choose and how you put it visually out there, the job ads, the advertisements, and so on about the employer, but you need to be true, because yes, and these are the times when you get those people that really don't fit your right. company, because you have told them something totally different in your job ad or right. in the job interview, and so on. So no, you really need to be speak truth with them. Yes, we have done it as well, because when we try to find people for art as well, that. We tell them what is the job that you will really need to do, and how your day to day really look like, and sometimes people understand, okay, this is not what I want to do, and it's perfect, because then you understand that there won't be a bad job fit, mm-hmm. at least some percentage of it. Yes.
Because in all of this. This level of transparency that probably is not something companies desire, but is out there because we are living in the public square, yeah. and you need to sort of open a little bit more. I mean, people need a level of transparency. Now you are moving little by little into the learning and development space. As far as I understand, so you started a new line of business. So bringing from the branding, now you are moving to learning. So now, A, where you will be focusing, right, on that? Mm-hmm. And why are you interested in this?
I think I will start with the interest, I guess. Okay. It has been, at least for myself, a huge interest throughout years from university and everything that I have done on the side, I would say, with teaching and so on. What I really see is that we have so much potential from people, and how we can train them, and what skills they need. But it's you don't have the other side in place, so you don't have the right trainings and so on for them. Or at least what I see is that sometimes people when you go to the learning and development departments within your company, they say, yeah, no one wants, we have the LinkedIn courses for them, we have everything for them. Mm. They don't want to learn anything. And it's not true. Most of the people want to learn all the time. Mm-hmm. They just don't know what. Mm. And that is the problem. And that's why where we get is that people just learn within the company's Excel courses and so on. It's not that Excel courses per se are bad.
Yeah.
It's just that it doesn't fit the purpose of the business. And that a lot of businesses haven't really understood what are the skills that they will need in mm-hmm. few years, mm-hmm. and that we need to start to build those people for those next 5 years, for example. That we cannot always think that we will find someone out there that will really put the puzzle together for us with the right skills. We need to train them within. Mm-hmm. And
So you, and I am not asking you to talk about the competition, of course, but you think that there is a niche that somehow is empty, or that there is a very specific line of business, of training that employers are not finding, or is more on the advisory side, that the training is there, but they don't know how to match their needs with the training that is out there, or the quality is not there. What's your...
Yeah, I think it's both. Really understanding of what I need as an employer for my employees, how to give it to them so they understand what is that and why I need to learn it. And yes, as the quote about myself was, I am all about the quality. Mm. And yes, I think that we have such a great methodologies throughout the whole world that
Absolutely.
We don't use.
Yeah.
We can't. That's what RBS is doing by getting the knowledge from the big universities here to Latvia,
mm-hmm.
because it's sometimes a little bit sad why we don't mm-hmm. copy with pride, because there are such great things out there that
why we don't copy with pride. What do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah, why do you think we don't do it? I mean, that's a for me it's sometimes still surprising, right? So because the information. You know, MIT, with which we work, they have something called the Open Courseware that is available to everybody for free. So you go, it's for free. So you have a large amount of MIT courses there with all the slides, the course description, and they are telling, use them. I mean, no, nothing, you know, no string attached. You just use it. So why we don't copy?
For the usage, it's sometimes it is the communication. So do we talk about it enough? Do people really know that there is something out there like mm-hmm. that I know how to use it and mm-hmm. that it's easy to use? And sometimes we see that with a lot of those internal training programs that this is not in place, that mm-hmm. people just don't. And it's also not only about the training programs, it's about the benefits within the company. A lot of companies say we give them 100 different benefits, but they use two of them. Why? Because it's those two are the ones that are easy to use for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that they know what to do with them and how to get them and so on. Why don't we copy with pride? I think maybe it's something just a personal thing that we think that we know best.
We can do it on our own.
Yeah, we can do it on our own. And sometimes, maybe we don't believe that it's important. That's mm. why we don't focus on it. We don't put the budget on it, because, of course, you need budget for those things.
Mm-hmm.
You need resources for those things.
We have to go already wrapping up. It has been a great conversation, but I would like to finish with... If you can, in a few words, imagine you have an employer, and I believe many people in the audience or that they will watch this podcast during the next weeks. They might not have a employer branding in place, employee branding in place, or they don't have a brand for themselves that they are really working to attract the people. And especially, I think, between many middle and small-sized businesses. You have been working mainly with large companies.
Not really.
Not really?
Yeah,
okay.
not only, yeah.
But I think there are a lot of small and middle-sized businesses that probably don't have any strategy in place how they are going to attract their future employees, right? What could you suggest them not to do? And what could you suggest them to do? I mean, where to start?
I was thinking about this, which employers I like the most from what they talk about and so on. And then I got to a realization that if I think about the global perspective, we always say those big names. Those are the best employers. And the small ones, we just don't know about them. And when I think about Latvia or Baltics, it's sometimes the way around, that we like the small ones, but the big ones sometimes have all of this bureaucracy and everything that we know about now. And yes, that
So
and
you think that the large ones should start working as well a little bit more like that?
They need to work more because they need more people. And there are more people that can talk good and bad about them. And of course, for a company as us with 10, 12 people, it's much easier for us to build an employer brand than with a company with 1,000 or 2,000 people. It's a lot harder because of the different audiences and so on. But what to do? As I said, it's find someone in the board that really thinks that this
Gonna
is
be the
important.
champion in a way, right?
Him or her, they don't need to do anything like on a technical side about it, but be the champ for that. Yes, and then I think it's as with any other strategy, what you do, you start with really researching, plotting what are your target audiences, understanding really what they want, and do you have it? Because what we see when we do some researches about employers, mostly it's again the vice versa. So we ask what people want from the employer and what they see, for example, in an employer X. And it's always like that. We understand that people want different things than they see within the employers, or that employers say that yes, we have all of these things, and I say yeah, but nobody knows about them. So you should start to talk about them, and don't put focus on effort on the things that you just think are cool, but what they want to hear from you as well. So it's
So
also.
you need to match, you need to find the match between what the people want to listen and what you can say.
Yeah, what you can say, what you have.
Be truthful, right? So keep the truth, but also choosing exactly that intersection, right? So what people want to listen and probably also find what the people don't want to listen, and actually also in your company that there are not surprises, yeah. So if the promotion is gonna be long and people want to move fast, you have to tell them, you know, you're gonna stay on one position or one job or one department for a long time, so be ready for that. You know, it's Latvians say that sometimes Latvians are not good in selling. It's not my opinion. It's not my opinion. But I always give an example. When I go to Boston and I go to the airport in Massachusetts, in Logan Airport. So from the moment you land till the moment you take the taxi, you know, that it takes probably, I mean, since you take the luggage, so it takes, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. So in that. So during those 15 minutes, you hear three, four times a recording telling you that you are in the very capital, in the center of human capital in the world, where the best talent. And they repeated that to you for meanwhile you have the luggage till the moment you reach there. Yeah, after the second time you say, well, you are telling me the same, but you know, you remember afterwards. And it tells you, okay, look, of course, everyone knows there is Harvard and MIT, so the best universities in the world are there. But still, you know, they're saying something is true, but you'll remember. Do you feel companies need to be, and this is a big part of employer branding, is to talk more about themselves, so to repeat more, and especially repeat what they are good at.
Yes, definitely. We need to more understand, so what is the message that we want to send? One clear message, at least one clear message.
At least one, right?
Yes, at least one to the right target
audience.
Not
everyone say the same. From the receptionist till the...
Yeah, of course, the NASA example about the janitor that knows why they work there because they put men on the moon. Of course, that's the perfect version, but and how you get it is through all the time repeating it. And for you, it sometimes might feel that it's too much.
Right.
But for the people outside, they maybe hear it only once or twice.
Right.
Yes, and yeah, it's. I would say it's never too much. Of course, if you're not just overwhelming those people, but. And it's not that you just put it only, I don't know, in social media posts or something like that. You can incorporate that in a lot of things, in how the job ad looks, in how the job interview happens, where it happens, what's the way how it happens. So there are so many points of experience
right.
for the person
right.
where you can put it, and it's the same as with product branding.
Right.
We don't do with employer branding what we already know with product branding,
right.
but we should start to learn from
so
there
speak
as well.
More. One message and speak more. One message and speak more.
Yeah.
Final question, and then we close. I promise, and we do this question to everybody. At the beginning, but I forgot. But so which is the tool that helps you more to be productive? And, you know, I have tried many things, you know, today in the notes, in the Google Calendar. I have my, now I have a new app that I bought from Norway. I have many things that I have been trying, you know, that put my different projects in order, my agenda in order. That help me as to be productive in a way, in a daily basis. Which is your
I'm old
productivity
school.
Tool?
Yeah, I'm old school. I love to write on paper, and this is how I get my thoughts really going there. But and I have tried, I think, most of the tools that are there. I have tried Trello, Asana, everything, but I always sometimes get back to the paper.
Right.
But I have understood that it's just for different tasks, maybe I need different way of how to put it. If I have huge projects, then the paper won't work. I can put the first sketches there, but then I need to some kind of place where it all goes together, and that it's for different things. For example, for sales, I love Pipedrive. It's the Estonian unicorn. It's so good. It's so simple,
right.
And they have and you can have
Estonian
it.
Company. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And you have it. You can have it not only so simple, but also go into a lot of interesting things that you can do with mm-hmm. it, but on a basic level, it's super simple, and yeah, yes. But yeah. I'm looking forward to. We are talking now about this Remarkable, the notepad. Yeah, because it feels like a paper, but
feel like a paper, but it has the functionality of digital.
Yes, and this is something. This will be the next thing that I will try out.
Okay, this is what I use, by the way. Okay, and yeah, Paola, thank you so much for being with us. And we invite the viewers of Bottom Line to the next two episodes. They will be the two remaining of 2022. Thank you so much.